Welcome to the Grace Point Church Podcast. This is a podcast where you'll hear audio content from Grace Point Church, located at 319 West Georgia Road, Simpsonville, South Carolina. In this episode, Pastor Ben returns to his sermon series, Faith Journey, Encouragement from Joshua. This is part four. Let's listen in.
That's what happened. Yep. I knew it. I saw it. How's everybody this morning? Remember the folks that are, did it get this turned on?
Check one, two. There it is.
Remember the folks that are traveling? I can tell you one, two, three, four, five families that I know of that are actually traveling this week. So remember those folks. As I reminded you earlier, and as obviously you're aware of, and Brittany reminded you as well, that it is a time for mourning. It's a time for prayer, but it's a time for us as believers to be visible witnesses of the love of God. Okay, I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have the answer to every problem. We have the answer to every situation. And indeed, Jesus is the way. Amen. And we must proclaim Him. So I want to encourage you to make that a priority in your daily life, is to ask the Lord, show me today how I can share with at least one person how awesome you are. Did y'all know that Jesus is awesome? Amen. All right. And so we have an opportunity to share that. We are getting back into, we took a little break last week and we had a great time with Eunice Blaha, but we're going back into Joshua and we're looking at our journey of faith with Joshua. So if I can get that up. See Nathan and Brittany back there being lovebirds. I don't know what that's all about. Huh? That was funny. Those that don't know Brittany, I don't know if you noticed, she got attacked by a rogue jellyfish over the week, a vicious jellyfish. Poor jellyfish. He said poor jellyfish. All right, anyway. let's move on, folks. Anyway, so you just reminded that there could be 100 of them in there, right? You never know. All right, we've been looking at this faith journey, encouragement from Joshua. We saw in the first message in chapter number 1, getting there. The whole process of having to leave Moses behind, and Joshua, all of a sudden now, he wasn't under the wing of and under the authority of Moses. He was the guy. He was the one that God was going to use and speak to and speak through for the people. And then they had to go across the river. They had to make had to follow the plan of God. They had to follow His will, and they had to step out in faith and go across the river and claim the land that God had promised. So first of all, they had to think about getting there in that process. But then they came then to the obstacles that they faced. They got to Jericho. And what was Jericho? Jericho was an almost insurmountable problem. The walls around Jericho were legendary at the time for just how strong they were and how fortified the city of Jericho was. How could the people of Israel ever attack Jericho and come out ahead? But God gave them a plan, right? It seemed like a ridiculous plan as far as strategic battle strategy would be. I mean, they had to, what, going to march around the city once a day, every day, and then the seventh day march 7 times and then shout and the walls are going to fall down? Yeah, right. But that's exactly what happened, right? And we saw that the etymology of the word, that there were the walls fell down and they were flat. They literally were pulverized. They went to the ground. They were able to not climb into Jericho. They walked into Jericho. What an incredible act of God. And then on the heels of that, what were they? Pretty confident, right? They felt like, wow, God is on our side. We are moving forward. Nothing can stand in our way. They had just taken Jericho, which by all accounts and by the time of the day and the word of the day, that couldn't happen. So then they went to the city of Ai. Ai would be easy pickings. When they look up, they went up there and they looked and they said, oh man, they don't have the fortification that Jericho did. They don't have near the people that Jericho did. Don't even take the whole army. Just send a select few up there, special forces, if you will, and let them take it. Let them get Ai. But no, what happened? They found an incredible defeat. They faced failure. Why? Because they were overconfident. And then plus two, what they discovered is that one man had gone against the word of God. And he had claimed some of the plunder for himself, and he had hidden it in his tent. In the camp, there were the spoils of war that were against the will of God. And because of that, the whole army faced this incredible defeat. Many men died, and they had to flee. They had to flee for their lives. And Joshua was so upset. He was upset not only because they had been defeated, but he was upset because he knew that would happen. The result of that would be the word of God and the person of God being ridiculed across the land. So God said, okay, I hope you've learned your lesson, but now we're going to move forward. So we're going to move then to chapter number 8, because that was chapter 7. So moving into chapter 8, we're looking at sermon number 4, and it has to do with what comes on the heels of failure. Have you ever wondered how God views things? And have you ever made mistakes? Anybody? All right. Al, why'd you raise your hand so fast? Yeah. It's reality, right? Yeah. If anybody doesn't raise their hand to having made mistakes, you are not personally aware, right? We've all made mistakes. And what does it feel like when you make a mistake? I don't know about you. It feels terrible, doesn't it? It feels horrible. So what is the tendency? What a lot of people do. A lot of people, when they make a mistake, they think, oh no, I failed the Lord. Therefore, the Lord doesn't want to have anything to do with me. So I think I'm just going to go home and give up. Self-pity, right? A pity party. Yep, I know, I've seen you. So that happens, right? We want to give up. But is that the way we ought to approach things? Really? Isn't that the best thing to do? Just give up when you make a mistake? So let's all just give up and go home. Come on. Oh, you blame it on somebody else? Yeah, that's the thing today. It's never my fault, right? Yeah. That's like I told you a story about one time when Daniel came running up to his mama one time and was just crying and crying. And he looked at her and he said, trying to get his sister in trouble. And he said, Mommy, Mommy, Sissy hit me back. Some of you, that'll take a minute. Sissy hit me back. Yeah, you got to blame somebody else, right? But what does God have to say about it? I want you to watch this.
If only I could go back and change some things. Set things straight.
I wish I had a do-over.
I've made choices. I've lost out. I've wished a thousand times I could go back and try again.
It's hard not to imagine what might have been.
If I had just stopped to think.
If I had just done as I was told.
If I hadn't thought I knew it all.
Why didn't I just take a few deep breaths?
Took 1 second to listen.
Maybe my life would be better.
Maybe there wouldn't be such a high price to pay.
Things would be different now.
I wouldn't have so many regrets.
But is everything lost?
Can I just get a do-over?
Is there a way back to new beginnings?
Because regret can mean a new beginning.
When it's given to the one who produces a repentance.
A repentance that delivers me from my grief.
The one who takes my mistakes.
And somehow redeems me through them.
Who tells me I'm not the sum total of all my regrets?
He tells me not to look back.
Because there's nothing there to see.
I am not my mistakes.
He is faithful and just to forgive me.
I just have to ask him.
And then I can look straight forward.
Forget what is behind me.
And strain towards what is ahead.
And walk away with all regrets erased by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
Every day I'm given a clean slate.
A clean slate?
I get a clean slate.
What a good message, amen? So we're going to be looking at sermon number 4 in the series, beginning again in Joshua chapter 8. If you look at the whole chapter of 8, we're not going to read the whole chapter, but we see that God gives them another chance. He gives them another crack at Ai, if you will. And he says, I want you to go in and take it, but I want you to do it according to my plan. I want you to do it in my strength. I want you to do it the way I have commanded you to do it, and then I want you to trust and rely on me. Don't rely on your own strength. Rely on my strength. Listen, in the forgiveness that I'm going to give, in the blessing and the grace that I extend, I want you to move forward and pick yourself up even when you fall down. Move forward. And so they do. They go and they take the men and they go to the city and they follow the will of the Lord, even down to the place of feigning defeat and then setting up an ambush and all of that. And God gives them details of how to take the city, and then they do. So what I want us to look at in beginning again is that when life gets off the track, when life comes off the rails by our own mistakes, it's not time to give up. It's time to look ahead, and it's time to turn to Him, and it's time to begin again. The first thing we need to do is choose to press on. Choose to press on. What does that mean? That means do not give up, but press forward. Evangelist Paul Sika was actually the man who was preaching when I came to Christ, and I'll never forget, he had a poem, and he said, I have a poem about perseverance. And he wanted to quote the poem, so we were all waiting for this great poem that he had written about perseverance. And here's how it went, if I can remember and not mess it up. Here's how it went. Plow on, plow on, plow on. Plow on, plow on, plow on. Plow on, plow on, plow on, plow on, plow on, plow on. What a great poem, huh? Matter of fact, even I can remember that one, right? But the point is to always move ahead. You see, I believe that the one place that Satan most wants to find believers is in a place of failure and in a place of feeling like they're guilty, feeling like they're no good, feeling like that God is angry with them. And so that Satan wants us to stay at the altar feeling sorry for ourselves and picking at all the impurities that we find in ourselves and doing absolutely nothing for the cause of Christ. Listen, if you make a mistake, when you make a mistake, do not allow that to define you. Do not allow that to control you. Do not allow that to stop you, but pick up, begin again, and press on. Amen. Verse 1 says this, and the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear and do not be dismayed. Take all the fighting men with you and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai and his people, his city, and his land. Isn't it vintage the Lord? See, listen, get up off the ground, go, because it may not look like it with your physical eyes, but you have to trust me and know that I have already given them into your hand. They are already defeated because I have said so. So get up, go, and do what I have commanded you to do. Listen, child of God, listen, even when you make a mistake, even when things seem desperate, even when you have come to the place where you have totally upset the apple cart, do not forget God hasn't forgotten you. And remember, to press on. How do you do that? Well, the first thing you need to do is repent. You notice in that little clip, he quoted this verse, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. Now, I love that verse because when you break it down, we see some things. It says, if we confess. If we confess. What does the word confess mean? You break it down, the word confess means to agree with. So when we confess sins before the Lord, what we're doing is we're saying, Lord, I agree. It's more than just admitting. It's more than just saying, I know I got caught, right? Confession is not expressing the fact you got caught. Confession is agreeing with God that the behavior, that the thing that I did, that the sin is egregious in His sight. It means agreeing with Him that it was wrong. Not only was it wrong as far as His precepts and His tenets are, but it was wrong as far as the best choice for my life is as well. To confess means to agree with. So if we confess our sins, they're not identified. All of them. It's plural. There are many. So if we confess them, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, all of them, no matter what they are, and to cleanse us from every bit of unrighteousness. You know what that means? That means that the slate is wiped clean, as it said before. And you know what? We are then clothed again in the righteousness of Christ. So all unrighteousness is gone, and all that remains is His righteousness. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited when we think about it. So if we confess our sins, so how often do we do that? That's written in the present tense. It's written in the, it means now, tomorrow, the next day, the next day. Listen, God never tires of hearing His children say, I agree with You, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Now, does He want you to commit the same sin over and over and over and over again? No, that's different. Yeah, He's going to deal with that. But when you are defeated, don't give up. Press on. First of all, repent. Lord, I confess before You. And then put aside fear. Notice what it says in that verse number one. Do not fear. Stop it. Fear is, you know that there's a contemporary song out, it's been out a little while, but it's Fear is a Liar, right? Fear is from the enemy, right? Fear is not of God. The kind of fear that they're talking about that keeps you down, the kind of fear that keeps you quaking and defeated and timid and not wanting to do anything, that kind of fear is not from the Lord, it is from the enemy. And listen, don't allow it to dominate your life and your thoughts. Don't allow it to keep you from doing what God has called you to do. Don't allow it to stop you from ministering in His name. Put aside the fear. Everybody look at me. I want you to do something. You're just going to think this sounds crazy, but I sense that you're supposed to do it. Ready? Look at me. Everybody. Nobody. Everybody that's asleep, wake up. All right? Good. You awake? No, okay. Well, that's all right. You get a pass. You're so old, you know. That's not where. You ready? That's me. You ready?
Ready.
All right. Now he's ready now. All right. Look at me. All right. Everybody say this. Satan, you are a liar. I don't have to believe you. All right. Are you with me? Satan, you are a liar. Put aside the fear. I do not have to be afraid of you. I do not have to be afraid of anything. I need to have fear of the Lord, which means to have reverent appreciation and awe for who He is, and put Him first, because I can repent of my sins and I don't have to be afraid anymore. I don't know about you, but that thrills my heart. Yes, ma'am.
I saw on a church sign recently, when Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future.
There you go. Yeah, when Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. What? That's good stuff. Amen.
Yeah.
Where's he headed? Don't answer that. All right, well, there we go. Put aside fear. Thanks, Mom. You notice I said, yes, ma'am. That's my mama. All right, you ready? Put aside fear. And then number three, put away discouragement. Notice what it says as well. Do not be dismayed. What a word. Dismayed. What does that mean? Dismayed can be defined as a state of hopelessness. Do not be dismayed. Don't think that it's all over. Even when it seems like there is no hope, there is always hope in Him. Do not be dismayed. Again, it is a lie of the enemy. Put aside fear and put away discouragement. But notice how it comes. It comes on the heels of repentance. Folks, listen. If you confess your sins before the Lord, He's faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse of all unrighteousness. If you confess your sins, there needs to be repentance. What does repentance mean? Repentance means to agree with, to understand, to recognize what it is that I need forgiveness for, and then to turn away from it. It's 180 degrees. It's turning in phase. It's going the opposite direction. It's an about face. God, I change what I was doing that brought displeasure to you and pain in my life. I repent. I turn. And I move forward. Choose to press on. Amen? So what's next? Well, first of all, you choose to press on. And then number two, celebrate God's provision. Look at verses 30 through 31. 30 and 31. At that time, Joshua built an altar to the Lord. See, just take my word for it that this is parenthetical to what happened. Verse 1 and then the end down here. What happened is they went up and they followed the plan of God and they took Ai. Everybody say yay. All right, victory was theirs, right? So at that time, Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, on Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the people of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stones upon which no man has wielded an iron tool. And they offered on it burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. They celebrated the provision of God. What was the provision of God? If you read the chapter previous and all the verses in the chapter ahead, it found that not only did they go up to Ai, and not only did they go up and have victory, but they went up through a beautiful valley. They went up in a place where God's provision was given to them all along the way. They realized that God did not forget them. You see, when we repent of our sins and we choose to press on, God makes it ultimately and very, very clear in our lives that He does not forget us. He does not leave us alone. Aren't you glad? He does not turn His face from us, but He hears our cry and He follows us. And they were able to celebrate God's provision. Listen, you see, what happened, I believe, is that when they took Jericho, in their excitement about taking Jericho, they went to the next city and they decided, I'm going to go up and we're just going to go ahead and take this one too because we got this. And they forgot to pause and say, Lord, the battle's yours, not ours. You have provided the victory. It's not in ourselves. And they were failed to thank Him for all that He had done. And they failed to recognize the victory that God had given. And not only did they fail to recognize the victory that God had given, they failed to celebrate it and commemorate it, if you will, if you want another C word, to commemorate what God had done. So celebrate God's provision to be, commemorate God's victory. They built an offering, and an altar. And on that altar, they offered sacrifice to the Lord. They celebrated what God had done. Listen, what needs to happen for your life and my life? Has God ever provided victory in your life? Anybody ever been defeated? And then on the heels of that defeat, God does something and He brings victory in your life. Did you pause? Did you celebrate what He had done? I pray that you did. You know, one good way to celebrate that is come to church and say, Pastor, I just have to say something. Here's what God did in my life. I want to praise Him for what He's done. I want to give Him all the glory for what He's done. I want to establish in right now that my life is built on Him. My hope is in Him. And here's what He has done for me. Would you celebrate together with me? That's what that means. Is to commemorate, to celebrate what God has done. First of all, choose to press on. Secondly, celebrate God's provision. And then third and finally, somebody say, wow, you were fast today. Choose to press on, celebrate God's provision, and completely renew your pledge to God's Word. Completely renew your pledge to God's Word. You say, well, Pastor, what in the world are you? Listen, here's what it says. Verse 32 through 35, and there in the presence of the people of Israel, he wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written. And all Israel, sojourners as well as native born, with their elders and officers and their judges, stood on opposite sides of the ark before the Levitical priests who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord, half of them in front of Mount Gerizim and half of them in front of Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded at the first to bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessing and the curse, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded that Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, and the women and the little ones and the sojourners who lived among them. So here's what he did. He said, okay, God, not only am I going to commemorate, not only am I going to celebrate your provision and celebrate the victory that you've brought, but I'm going to make sure that we as your people have returned to our devotion and commitment to your law and to your word. Child of God, listen to me. If you just dust off, open up your Bible on a Sunday morning during the sermon, and that's all, the Word of God is not nearly important enough in your life. Amen? You say, well, preacher, you sound legalistic. I need to. No, I'm not telling you to check a box every day. I'm telling you that the Word of God is the Word of life. And His counsel is true. And His counsel is needed every single day. Have I told you lately? The success of the Christian life is found in the quiet time with Jesus each and every day. Spend time in His Word. Learn to love His Word. Understand that the law of God is truth, but then also rejoice in the fact that we are not held to the standard of the law as the only hope. We are held to the standard of grace for in forgiveness and faith in Jesus Christ. So now I do not keep the law of God so that I might earn my way to glory. I'm already promised glory, and I keep the law of God because I'm so overwhelmingly appreciated and appreciative of all that He has done. It's in my heart. That's exactly right. Recommit. Renew your pledge to God's Word. Renew the pledge to say, Lord, I choose to follow your Word. Renew your pledge to say, Lord, I choose to read your Word. Renew your pledge to, Lord, I choose to study your Word. And then, Lord, I choose to keep your Word. And then finally, Lord, I renew my pledge to proclaim your Word. Friend, listen. You look at the ailments of the world today. The answer is in the Word of God. The answer is His truth. The answer is in Him. To renew the pledge to the Lord. So what do we say in their faith journey? Well, there's always a time to begin again. Feeling down, feeling defeated, feeling like that there's no hope. Stop and recognize that there's always hope to those who know Him. and choose to press on. If you need to, I can write down the words to that poem if you need it. To remember, plow on, plow on, plow on. Press on. How to do that? Well, first of all, repent. Lord, I'm sorry. I agree. Forgive me. I confess my sin. Lord, I choose to acknowledge and I lay myself at your feet. But because of that, I'm not going to fear. The enemy has no sway over me. I'm not going to be dismayed. I'm going to press on. And then next, what am I going to do? I'm going to celebrate God's provision. I'm going to celebrate God's forgiveness. I'm going to celebrate God's victory. I'm going to celebrate God's provision. I'm going to celebrate God's everything. And then third, I'm going to completely renew my pledge to the Word of God. And I'm going to follow Him. And then you know what will happen? You'll begin again. And you know what the wonderful reality is? God says that when He forgives us our sins as His child, He puts the sins as far as the east is from the west. It's buried to the deepest depths of the sea. And I know I've shared it before, but some of you may have never heard it. You know why He says, I'm going to put the sins as far as the east is from the west instead of the north from the south? Because if you travel north and you keep going far enough, you're going to reach the North Pole. And then you take one more step forward and you're no longer headed north. You are now headed south. And vice versa at the South Pole. But if you head out west and you keep going west and you never turn around, you'll circumnavigate the earth over and over and over again and you'll never head east again. That's why it's as far as the east is from the west. It's forgotten. It is no more. So confess that sin before Him and renew your pledge to the Word of God. Amen. Church, my prayer is that this has been something that I know it's been something I've needed. I'm praying I'm not the only one. But if I am, God be praised. That's okay, Lord. I'll take it. But hopefully it's yours as well.
You have been listening to the Grace Point Church podcast. Find out more information about Grace Point Church, go to our website at www.gracepointsc.org. You can also connect with us on social media through Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. To listen to more sermons by Pastor Ben Hill, you can subscribe to this podcast, go to the media page on our website, or you can watch our service live on our Facebook page. Thank you for listening.